www.mimi.org.
Miami City Ballet presents Program 2, Tradition and Innovation, featuring a world premiere by Liam Scarlett, Royal Ballet of London celebrated choreographer, plus the classic Don Quixote, Pas de Deux, and two George Balanchine audience favorites. Program 2 opens January 11th in Miami, January 18th in Fort Lauderdale, and January 25th in Palm Beach. Tickets at MiamiCityBallet.org or 877-929-7010.
Hi, Charlie Carlson here from Weird Florida, and we're back on the road again. I'm going to take you to the world's smallest circus. I'm going to have knives thrown at me by the great Cendini. She always sharpens the knives before she does this. And guess what? I know a secret about JFK that I want to show to you.
A long way up there.
Mayday, mayday, is there anyone out there? Hello? Help?
I'm going to go pack my bags right now, so stick around. We're fixing to leave.
Well, we're fixing to stay, at least for an hour. It's today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper here with Bonnie Berman. Bonnie, what's in store for us today? Please, nothing weird.
Well, you're out of luck. You're out of luck if you don't want anything weird. Well, we have a lot of stuff. First, let me congratulate you, Mia Lorenzo, our guest, and Charlie Carlson, our guest. Hi to both of you.
Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
Hello, Charlie.
Yeah.
He's joining us from New Smyrna, right?
Yes, I'm up in New Smyrna Beach.
Oh, New Smyrna. Talk about weirdness. Well, anyway, I want to congratulate you, and I really enjoyed watching On the Road Again. The production value, the photography. I love the music. I wondered, was that written for it, or did you just, was that music all selected for the documentary?
The music is a music library that we pay for, but I, you know, there's certain themes that I picked, like country, traveling down the road kind of thing. There was an interest in the music for Graham Drought actually wrote us a song from Ico Ico.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to record it.
A great blues singer.
Yeah, he's awesome. And he's a big fan of the show. But we didn't go down that road, and he fell sick for a while. But
played for years at Tobacco Road.
Yeah, he's a wonderful musician. He's very, very gifted.
That's funny. You didn't go down that road.
Yeah. No pun intended.
Road on the mind. So, Mia, what was the most challenging part of filming this for you?
I'd have to say, you know, time constraints. We try to get everything in, and when you're at a location, you're only at a location for so long. I mean, we can spend 3 hours somewhere, and still it's not enough time. And then you have to get back in the car, back on the road, back to the next location, find a hotel. It's not like we've got these hotels booked ahead of time. You know, which one's dog friendly, and then you go back in the room, you start editing, you wake up in the morning all over again. It's a lot of fun. What you see on the program is awesome, but the work that's involved is just tremendous.
And it's
she has to find a place for me to stay and a place for me to eat.
A lot of places won't let you in, right?
A lot of places won't let me in. They let the dog in, but they won't let me in.
Speaking of the dog, I love Lady Isabel, but what happened to Miss Scarlett?
Well, Miss Scarlett, you know, she had been with me for about 11 years or so, and she'd been in many movies playing a dog, of course. And she was a star of the first show, but we discovered a mast cell tumor on her hind leg right after we did that first show. And, gosh, I spent a fortune trying to cure that thing. And we did get it cured, but in a follow-up, it came back in her abdomen. And we tried to treat that, too, but we lost her because of that, and she passed away in March of last year, which just pulled the rug out from under all of us. I mean, she had a big family with the WLRN crew, and she had so many followers out there. I got flowers from people. I got 300 letters of condolences and emails. I mean, she had quite a following.
Wow.
So she's resting in my pet cemetery, which is down in the woods behind my house now, with about 14 other animals that are down there. So we were devastated by that, and this was just before we were to go out to film the new episode. So we were without a co-star, and she did attract a lot of people to the show. All the dog lovers watched the show. So we didn't know what we were going to do because they had bonded so well with Miss Scarlet. So I had this other dog just kind of pop up from nowhere on an internet advertisement that was a rescue, and that was up in Ocala. And I went up there to check the dog out, and that's where I got Lady Isabel from. And she, when I picked her up, she was a bag of bones. She looked like a skeleton with a skin draped across it, and she had every infestation that you can think of, including heartworms. So spent another fortune in getting her straight, and she's just fine now. She's fattened up. She doesn't have heartworms, and she went out with us on this shoot, and she did wonderful.
You probably could have bought Lassie.
I could have bought a whole bunch of dogs with what I spent on these two. But, you know, I'm for rescuing animals, and when I take an animal in, that animal becomes part of my family. So I spend more on my animals than I do myself when it comes to
health. I believe that.
Care.
I can vouch for that.
I believe
He'll
that.
He'll go sick and whatever, and yet the dog's got, you know, top-rated care.
Yeah, so I'll be in a wheelchair and on oxygen, and my animals will be running around healthy.
Well, they'll be taking care of you.
Yeah.
So I'd like to go on the road. I'm going to skip around. At first I thought, let's start at the beginning and we'll start in Key Biscayne. But how about if we skip around? Do you mind that?
Anything you want to do.
Okay, so I want to go to Peanut Island, and that's in Palm Beach County?
Yeah, it's out in the middle of I guess it's right there as you come in through the inlet. And that island right there is Peanut Island. Kind of a crazy name for an island. I heard that they used to have peanut oil or something stored there.
Oh, yeah, I wondered about that name.
Yeah, but usually when there's some government secret on an island, it's usually like Skull Island or, some eerie name.
Well, before we get to the secret, Charlie, let's listen to a couple of clips about Peanut Island, okay?
We strike out for a small island near Palm Beach that once harbored a big government secret. It's Peanut Island, and we're meeting historian John Grant for a tour of a Cold War relic, a bomb shelter built for President Kennedy. Now, are we underground?
Well, we're under a lot of dirt.
Under a lot of dirt.
Actually, I'll show you what the level is when we get to the main. The people that had gone outside after there actually had been a fallout would have to come back here, take this Geiger counter up, and test to see if they had any radiation on them before they could get into the bunker inside.
So you have to test your radiation level right here with this thing. That's an antique, isn't it?
Right.
Let me test Isabel here. Yeah, I think you're irradiated.
I did not copy your call sign there. I apologize, but I had some noise here in the shack.
So this must be the communications center.
In this corner was the most important thing for the president. He communicating with his force, the forces around the world. Mm-hmm. So they had a huge, very low frequency antenna field right outside this bunker. And he could sit here, and they pumped a lot of juice in here, like 800 amps, so that he could have the power to speak to the fleet forces afloat, especially, and anybody else.
So back in that time, if that had been something that would have happened, then this would have been command central for the entire country, right?
That's absolutely correct.
So that's hard to believe that this would have run the whole country from this bunker.
And all the forces around the world.
Mayday.
That is so amazing, Charlie.
Isn't that?
It is amazing. Tell us about the bunker and how far below ground it is and what you can see from above ground.
Well, it's kind of a weird entrance to the thing. I can see where nobody would even know the thing was there. It's kind of a corrugated thing that looks like a Quonset hut that's buried underground. I think he said something like 27 feet or 30 feet or something like that under. Well, it's actually not underground. I think they pile the sand dunes up on top of it.
I think it was 27 feet.
Yeah, 27
feet, yeah. Mm-hmm. But,
sounds like a spider hole with the Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is bigger than a spider hole. I mean, it was quite large. But, you know, when you think about it, this is lost history. This is history that people don't know about. And you can go there and visit this place, but to think that the entire country's armed forces could have been run from a place called Peanut Island in Florida is just amazing.
It is amazing. How did you find out about it?
We stumbled onto that. I think Mia got a tip on that, and we checked it out, and we said, well, we got to put this in the show because this is a mixture of weirdness and history.
Yeah.
That's what we're about, you know. We
yeah.
want to show some history, but we want to put a little quirky side to it, too.
Well, it was all that, and it was big inside. Mia, how did you find it?
Basically, it was a tip. We had a cancel, well, not a cancellation. We couldn't gain access to another type of segment that we were going to do down in the Everglades. And one of the people who was already a fan of our show, the great Sindini, who's this woman daredevil that's also up in Palm Beach, said, well, have you checked out the... you know, the JFK bunker.
She's the one
on,
that
like,
throws
Peanut
the
Island.
Knives?
Yes.
Yes.
At Charlie.
I remember her.
She could be the next Mrs. Cooper, I think.
but seriously, a lot of this stuff is either, you know, some of Charlie's discoveries, but we also have fans that give us tips and discoveries and some, you know, stuff like that. It's all word of mouth, really.
So what, do you have a blog or something where people write in and tell you about things?
Actually, we did run a production blog as we were out. I was very conscientious about taking pictures and shooting little videos and blogging day one, day two, day nine, whatever, and put it up there. And it is on our website. You want me to go ahead and weirdflorida.org, or you can go to wlrn.org/weirdflorida.
It's Topical Currents. We're speaking with Mia Lorenzo, the producer, and Charlie Carlson, the master of weird, about their latest documentary. It's called Weird Florida on the Road Again. And by the way, it premieres tonight on WLRN TV Channel 17 at 8 p.m. And will that be the only showing of it, or...?
That's all I know for right now. I'm sure it will air again and again and again, and
okay.
It will be distributed nationally.
Oh, that's great. All mm-hmm. right, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with more.
The newest landmark in Miami's Design District is Orchid, an exotic theatrical experience featuring song, dance, aerial acrobatics, and variety acts performed in a vintage European cabaret tent. This pop culture-infused extravaganza harks back to the pleasure gardens of the 19th century. The Miami Examiner says, make sure you see Orchid before it's too late. Orchid, extended by popular demand. Tickets and information at orchidtheshow.com.
Community Smiles is a nonprofit dental clinic for uninsured low-income children and families. Donations from the community allow them to provide comprehensive dental care. Details at communitysmiles.org. Creating smiles since 1946.
You've reached a certain age. You're viewed as a success. Still, you are not immune. The disease of addiction doesn't discriminate based on age or status. West Palm Beach's Hanley Center is considered a center of excellence for comprehensive addiction treatment and recovery for older adults and baby boomers. Hanley Center, for older adult and boomer recovery. Details at 855-718-2233. Hanley Center, recovery for life. 855-718-2233.
WLRN is funded by listeners like you and by the law offices of David W. Langley, representing individuals and small businesses in bankruptcy matters in Dade and Broward counties for over 30 years. Consultation appointments and additional information at flalawyer.com. That's flalawyer.com. And at 954-356-0450.
Now, I read someplace where Lake Placid has more clowns per capita than any other town in, what, the southeast,
well,
Florida?
It used to be, but we've just been beaten out by those clowns up there in Washington, D.C.
Oh, I've heard about them.
Would you like to see some?
Okay. And we're back. It's today's Topical Currents. Bonnie Berman with Joseph Cooper here. We're visiting with Mia Lorenzo.
I didn't get that joke.
No, please.
No, yeah, right. That was great, actually. Was that a clown, Charlie Carlson?
Big Al. He kind of oversees the Toby's Clown School there in Lake Placid. And it is true that Lake Placid has more clowns per capita than any city that's probably in the country. Because people come to that school there, and they learn to clown, and most of them go out and entertain children in hospitals. Now, there are a few that go on and become professional clowns in circuses, but that's a little-known school, but it's sitting right there in Lake Placid.
And tell us more about Lake Placid. I didn't know it was the caladium capital of the world.
Yeah, caladium, that sounds like some kind of a musical instrument, but actually it's a plant, and they're the capital of the world when it comes to caladiums. But they also, they've got so much weirdness in that town. I mean, I would recommend anybody that has something they want to do on the weekend to drive to Lake Placid and see all of these things. All the buildings are painted with murals. I mean, it's like an open-air art gallery all over the town. And the trash receptacles, it's kind of hard to determine where to put your trash at, because the trash receptacles are all kind of weird things. It may be a medicine bottle. It may be an old car or a jailhouse. And as they're sitting on the sides of the streets there, so they've turned their trash receptacles into these odd objects.
Now, why did they paint those murals? Who painted them, and why were they painted?
Some of the top artists in Florida were called in to paint those sides of buildings there, and what these pictures depict is the history and events and people of Lake Placid's history. So you can drive through town, and by just looking at the sides of the buildings, you get a full pictorial history of the town.
We're talking about Weird Florida on the Road Again, which premieres tonight on Channel 17 at 8 p.m. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you're certainly welcome. Our number, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. And Bonnie will take your emails at radio@WLRN.org.
Okay, so we're skipping around now, but when we say it's the caladium capital of the world, does that mean they export them to more places than any other place in the world?
Yeah, they grow more caladiums here than any other place, and they go everywhere. So if you buy caladium someplace in a store, you know, anywhere in the country, you're probably getting caladiums that came from Lake Placid.
That's amazing. And how far away is Lake Placid from here if we want to take a weekend trip?
How far is it?
I'm thinking like 4 hours.
Yeah, no, I don't even think of that.
Yeah, no? Okay.
I think you could do it probably in about 3 hours.
Well, I can. I have all the speeding tickets to prove it.
Well, the way you drive, I can understand. But it's a great trip if you're coming out of the South Florida area and you're driving across to get to Lake Placid, which is right there in the center of the state. That's a beautiful little trip through there. There's a lot to see on the way over. You go through the sugarcane fields and all on your way over there. So it's real nice over there, though. It's a beautiful little town.
Mia, as producer, what is your favorite segment, and which was the most difficult?
Oh, geez. That's such a hard question.
I specialize in those.
Yeah. I think I was really touched by the segment we had with Hong Kong Willie in Tampa. He's this guy that pretty much takes objects, trash objects, and turns them into art. It's really, really wonderful. And he's just a really good guy. He's got a really good heartfelt message about saving the earth. I love that. And butting that segment up with the Vietnamese garden that we had that we found was absolutely breathtaking.
And where was that?
That was just north of Lakeland, wasn't it, Charlie?
Yeah, it's north of Lakeland. The guy, we found that by accident, and we always find something by accident when we're out there on the road. But he agreed to let us film his area there as long as he didn't have to be on camera and we didn't disclose the exact location. You really can't see the place from the road, but he's a Vietnamese refugee, and he came to this country, and so he built these shrines and monuments to honor his past country and to also give honor to his new country. And it's amazing what he's got back in there. He's spent years building this stuff, and such things as a huge concrete lotus blossom, which you can actually walk up these steps and stand in, koi ponds, pagodas, and and all of this stuff. And it's sitting back there, just his own private Oriental garden. And it was just absolutely beautiful. The strangest thing about that visit with him is that we got to talking, and him and I had served in Vietnam together in the same military unit. He was a Vietnamese officer that was attached to the 11th Armored Cavalry, which I served in, and we had served at the same time in the same unit, and we had found this place on Memorial Day.
Yeah, how odd is that?
So, you know, you talk about something that's weird. That was really weird.
Yep.
And why is it not open to the public?
It's a private residence. Yeah, I mean, we almost didn't get access. We sort of had to talk the guy into it.
Yeah, see, this is one of those things that, you know, most of the things that we show on the program, you can go and see for yourself. But there are things that you can only see through the lens of our camera. And it's like the underwater cemetery there in Key Biscayne.
Yeah, tell us about that and who's buried there, and is that still operational?
Yes, it is. There's about 800 burials about 40 feet down on the bottom of the ocean there, and it if you go down there, it looks like the lost continent of Atlantis, the monuments and stuff that's down there, and it's forming a living reef there, but you can't see that unless you look through the lens of our cameras, or unless you're a scuba diver, because boats go across the top of it all the time, and they don't even know what's below them.
I was impressed. I didn't realize you were a scuba diver, Charlie.
I didn't either.
Oh. Okay. All right. Tell us about that, then. How did you get down there?
I put on a scuba suit, and Lady Isabel, she ran the boat while I went over, and then I went down, and she took off with the boat.
Oh, where'd she go?
If you're just tuning in, Lady Isabel is a dog.
Yeah, right.
She went back to land. No, she did very well. We were kind of worried whether she'd ride in a boat or not, but she did, and it was very rough out there the day we went out. And
I think there was a tropical storm just off in the horizon, and can I say that Charlie had never driven a boat either.
Oh, my God. Or scuba dive.
Or scuba dive. Oh, Lord. We put him through everything.
Well, I never had knives thrown at me either.
Oh,
we're going to get to the great Sandini. But, you know, I want to get back to Hong Kong Willie.
Yes.
Why did they call him that, by the way? Why is that his name?
Charlie, you want to take that, or I want to take that? It was based...
Well, his name was actually Joe Brown.
Yeah, Joe Brown.
When he went to school, he had a Japanese instructor in art school that talked to him about the way the Japanese, after the bombing of Hiroshima, how they came back and built their city and all using some of the scrap and everything that was left over from the bombing there, and how you could take things and regenerate them into art or other things that are useful.
Let's, Charlie, we have a little clip. Let's listen to that about, because okay. Mia was talking about how touched she was by it, so... We have a little clip about that from him.
So to tag it with a name, I just define it as art.
Finding the simplicity in the obscure, the abstract and the practical is what guides Hong Kong Willie, and his message is simple.
The message is taking media, adding an attraction to it, and have someone appreciate it and fall in love with it.
Discovering the beauty in a discarded object is Hong Kong Willie's way of making the earth a better place. And that's all it takes, each of us doing our part.
You've done your little part to save things from landfills and treat the earth right. Because that isn't that what we're here for, is the guardians of the earth?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. We'll see you later.
Oh, it was great. I mean, it was so nice, and they had such a big heart when we went there, and I was just, we were all touched by it. Actually, in the first rough cut of the show that we had, we actually went back to the edit room, and it extended even longer to add more stuff, because it's a really good message, and he really lives by his words
and
his actions.
A lot of stuff.
Oh, yes. Beautiful stuff.
There is an environmental message. So with our show, you get environmental messages, you get history, you get a lot of laughs, and you see some weird places. We got everything.
You do. The name of the documentary is Weird Florida, On the Road Again, and it stars Charlie Carlson. He's a 10th generation Floridian, and the producer is Mia Lorenzo from WLRN. It'll be on tonight on WLRN TV Channel 17 at 8 p.m. It's today's Topical Currents. We're going to take a short break, and we'll return in a moment.
South Florida Theater League and 91.3 WLRN offer same-day, half-price tickets at leading regional theaters and cultural organizations, including Orchid at the Pleasure Garden, Empire Stage, Women's Theater Project, and Gold Coast Jazz. Information and a complete list of shows online at culturalconnection.org. Culturalconnection.org, your ticket to the cultural arts.
The 19th annual Master Chef's Classic is at the Key West Westin Resort, Sunday, January 27th at 4 p.m. to benefit MARC, the Monroe Association for Remarkable Citizens, providing life services for Monroe County's developmentally disabled residents. This culinary competition and tasting offers foods prepared by the Key's finest chefs. Tickets at keystix.com, the MARC Plant Store, 1401 Seminary Street, or masterchefsclassic.com. Brought to you by the Monroe County Tourist Development Council.
On view at the Bass Museum of Art is the Endless Renaissance, six solo artist projects. Ijalisa Attila, Barry X. Ball, Walid Beshti, Hans-Peter Feldman, Jed Quinn, and Araya Rashjamirinsuk. More details at bassmuseum.org.
Hello, it's Bonnie Berman. Join us for Thursday's Topical Currents when we begin with British psychologist Jeremy Dean. He's written Making Habits, Breaking Habits, Why We Do Things, Why We Don't, and How to Make Any Changes Stick. And more, Linda Gassenheimer with the owner of Homestead's fabulous Paradise Farms. She'll give details about dinner in paradise and how we can grow our own organic gardens. That's Topical Currents Thursday at 1 o'clock.
And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman, longtime colleague Mia Lorenzo, and of course Charlie Carlson. We're talking about Weird Florida, On the Road Again, and you can watch the premiere of it tonight on WLRN TV Channel 17 at 8 o'clock. Mia, you didn't answer the second part of my question, was which segment was most difficult.
Oh, the segment that was most I think that Underwater Cemetery was difficult.
Yeah.
Because there was a lot of elements to that that was just that all had to be, for lack of a better word, choreographed. You know what I mean? The other thing I did want to mention that I think is hard, it's not necessarily a segment, but one of the hardest things to shoot while we're out there is those driving scenes. When you see Charlie going by in the car with the dog sticking her head out the window, I'm usually on the other side of the road with Felipe Maru, our videographer, who is literally hanging out the passenger window, and I'm doing 75, looking at oncoming traffic coming this way. We got cars honking behind us, screaming at us, and it's just, and I have to cut over quickly because I'm really driving on the wrong side of the road.
So logistically, that's kind of a nightmare.
Yeah.
And yes, we have been stopped by the Highway Patrol.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We've had to talk our way out of tickets, too.
So you've never gotten one?
No, not at all.
They should give you an escort.
Yeah, exactly.
So why did you guys decide to go back on the road again?
There's just too much weirdness in Florida. Yeah, the tip of the iceberg here.
Yeah, you could do 10 shows like this. And well, you know, the fans keep sending stuff in, and we have to go check those things out. And I'm even finding stuff that I didn't even know existed out there, thanks to the people that watch these shows. So the weirdness is there. Florida's got plenty of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. You know, I've heard of the St. Louis Arch, but I never heard of the Citrus Tower. Tell us about that.
Well, it's kind of a I'm not going to say it's a defunct tourist attraction, but back in the 1950s, this thing was a major attraction for tourism in Central Florida, because you could go up to the top of it and you could look out for miles and miles over nothing but orange groves. It was a great place to see Florida's citrus industry. Now you go up to the top and all you see is rooftops. There are no orange groves, because the orange groves have been more valued for development oranges. So now you just go up there and look out across the rooftop. So it's not like it used to be, but it was an icon of Florida's tourism back in the 50s.
Didn't you say something like you could see eight counties from the top of it?
Yeah, from up there, I would imagine it's probably the only place in Florida where you could see eight counties from one position.
Well, I'd like to skip to New Smyrna Beach, where you are. That's where you're stationed right now?
That's where I live at, New Smyrna Beach.
Okay, so we're going to learn about the Coquina ruins and the debate over who built them. And we have one man's version, but before we get to it, Charlie, tell us about this whole controversy over who built these ruins.
Well, I remember visiting these ruins when I was a little boy years ago, and we always call it the old fort. But you've got historians that think it's the foundation for Turnbull's palace. Andrew Turnbull was the fellow that settled New Smyrna. It was called the Turnbull Colony back during the British period. But he never actually built a palace there, so that's kind of ruled out. And then the other people saw, no, it was the foundation for the Sheldon Hotel, which was built in the 1860s. But the truth is that nobody knows 100% for sure what those ruins are. They're made out of Coquina rock. They resemble very much a miniature version of the Castillo de San Marcos in St. Augustine. So they have a Spanish look to the architecture of them, and it would take quite a labor force to build this thing.
Well,
and so nobody really knows, but everybody has a theory.
Well, it sounds like one man really does know. Let's listen to him.
Okay.
Excuse me, I saw you sitting on the park bench here. You probably saw us over there. We were trying to figure out who built these old ruins here, you know, whether it was the Spanish or the Indians or who. You have any idea? What do you think?
They did.
They did? You mean like people from another planet?
That's exactly what I mean. You don't think human hands built 5,250,000 tons of stone with the Great Pyramid, do you? Or Chaco Canyon, or
so you're saying space aliens built this old ruins?
They aborted their mission in Roswell, and they were here.
Well, I think you just added to the mystery. I guess that theory's as good as any.
Well, he sounds like a kook. What?
Everybody has a theory.
What's your theory?
My theory? Space aliens built it.
That was so funny.
Yeah, I don't know. There's been various pieces of evidence that they've dug up, you know, shards of ceramics and everything. And I've talked to so many historians, you know, the historians have been debating over these ruins for generations. Nobody knows 100% for sure, so I'm just open-minded.
Okay, so it could be space aliens, you mean?
Yeah, it could just as well be space aliens as anybody else, I guess.
Charlie, why are you so attracted to all the weirdness?
I don't know. I think we all are. I don't think it's just me. I think everybody likes something that will stir their curiosity. You know, that's why you have sideshows at carnivals and you have all these magazines that present weird stories and all that. People like weird stuff. So I'm probably just like anybody else. It's just that I take the time to write about it or take the time to go out and examine it and talk to people. And of course, I started out with kind of a weird situation. My grandmother was a medium. She used to talk to the dearly departed.
Oh, my.
She raised me up attending spiritualism sessions in Casadega, Florida. So I started out being around ghosts and stuff, and so I was kind of in tune to do something weird, I guess. And then I had my own sideshow one time. I traveled with a carnival when I was a teenager, and And when I was in the Army and traveling around the world, I would go places and do weird things when everybody else was going to the bars and getting drunk. I was out looking.
Okay, we don't want the kinky side.
No, you don't want to hear that part. Huh? Well, there was some of that, too. Well,
that's a carnival in itself, right?
Well, yeah. Well, do you believe in ghosts? Because I'm thinking of Rockledge and their poltergeist activity.
Well, I do, because I've had some experiences. I've seen table levitations at Casadega. Twice I've seen tables float off of the floor. Now, I don't know whether it's ghost doing it or something else, but I know that in Rockledge, Florida, at Ashley's Restaurant, they have a history of weird things going on there, what is known as poltergeist activity, you know, dishes flying off of shelves, people having their feeling touched by unseen hands or something that's not there, forks and knives moving around on tables, all kinds of things like that that have gone on in Ashley's Restaurant.
Well, so, tell us about the grisly murder that happened where the ladies' room is now.
Well, supposedly this girl, she was 19 years old, and her name was Ethel Allen, and she was supposed to be killed in there by her boyfriend or somebody, and they found her body dumped in the Indian River. This was in 1934, and in her body, she had been burnt and stabbed and mutilated, and they never solved the murder. So it is believed by the ghost folks that she is haunting Ashley's Restaurant. Of course, there's about five other stories as to what's causing this strangeness there, too. But out of all of them, Ethel Allen is the one that where there's a history trail. You can go and look in the microfilms of the old newspapers and you can read about the murder. So we know that she was a real person and that the murder did happen.
Mia, what were you going to add?
Oh, nothing.
Oh.
I was just, yeah.
You're just shaking
agreeing
your head.
Agreeing that yes.
Well,
that's the only truthful thing that can be traced back to all those accounts.
But you used those meters with that ghost finder and you didn't find anything.
Well, sometimes ghosts take a day off, you know. So, and it could be me, because I want to see something, and everybody else sees stuff, and I don't. I want to see Bigfoot. I want to see a UFO. And the only thing I've ever seen was the table levitation that I was telling you about. So, it could be me. Maybe I chased a ghost away or something.
So, this was your grandmother who was a medium?
Yeah, she was a medium. She used to be a large, but she went on a diet, and she became a medium. That's a joke.
Ho, ho. We're speaking with Charlie Carlson. He's a 10th generation Floridian, and he stars in the new documentary Weird Florida, On the Road Again. And we're speaking with the producer, Mia Lorenzo, on today's Topical Currents. If you'd like to join in the conversation, the number is 1-800-743-9576. If you have any questions to ask Charlie about anything weird you've ever seen in Florida, or you can email radio@WLRN.org. We need to take another short break, and we'll be right back.
We're funded by listeners like you and by the inaugural Sunshine Boca Blues Festival, Saturday, January 19th at Meisner Park Amphitheater. This all-day festival features two stages of blues entertainment and stars Tedeschi Trucks Band, Walter Trout, Sonny Landreth, Dr. John, Joe Louis Walker, J-Mo's Jazz Band, Matt Schofield, The Wood Brothers, Big Sam's Funky Nation, Sean Chambers, and Bobby Lee Rogers. Music starts at 11 a.m. Special International Beer Garden plus barbecue favorites. Tickets available at LiveNation.com.
Art lovers can gather Saturday, January 19th from 7 to 10 p.m. in downtown Hollywood for Art Walk. You can enjoy fine art and live music, dine with friends, and be part of the artful revival of downtown Hollywood. Details at GoHollywoodFLA.org. That's GoHollywoodFLA.org.
From Zach Braff, writer, director, and lead of the hit film Garden State and star of TV's Scrubs, comes All New People, a fresh new comedy from Zoetic Stage. The New York Times calls All New People sensationally funny. The Huffington Post calls it the defining play of a generation. Zach Braff describes it as the Breakfast Club for adults. On the Jersey Shore, Charlie is at the end of his rope. Unexpected friendships sometimes arise in life's most trying moments. January 10th through 27th. Information at arshcenter.org.
WLRN is funded by listeners like you and by the law offices of Elliott W. Rifkin, PA, located in the Dadeland area, focusing on family, real estate, and general civil matters, and proud to support the quality programming on WLRN.
And it is today's topical currents, Joseph Cooper, along with Bonnie Berman, Mia Lorenzo, and of course, the inimitable Charlie Carlson, 10th generation Floridian. And also, Charlie, what about Lady Isabel? What's she doing right now?
Laying down here on the floor. I'm trying to keep this squeaky toy away from
her.
Because...
Can you put her on the line? Can you put her on the line for us?
Isabel, come say hello. She wants to know what you're going to give her.
Yeah.
She only works for Pepperoni.
That's right.
Pepperoni. Huh?
Pepperoni.
Oh, Pepperoni. Okay.
What's Pepperoni?
It's like a
dog treats.
Yeah, it's like a sausage.
Like a Slim Jim.
Yes, yeah, like a Slim Jim for dogs.
Well, we were talking about UFOs before, Charlie. It's funny, the UFOs never seem to go to Chicago or Boston or New York. They're always out in kind of podunk areas. I wonder why that is.
Like Castleberry. Mia, what about UFOs?
I think Charlie has to verify this. Aren't we like third or fourth in the nation for UFO sightings?
We're the third. If you go on the internet, you can find something called the National UFO Reporting Center. And they record
I check
UFO
that out every day.
Do you? Well, you can look on there. If you compare Florida with all the other states, we rank about third, and we have for some time. My theory is that we stick out like a sore thumb on the map, and so we're very easy, an easy target for space aliens. It'd be kind of hard to find Missouri, you know, coming in from Zeta Reticuli or somewhere. But
hey, I'm from Missouri. It's the show me state.
So you know. But anyway, I think that it could be because we have the Space Center here. We're always firing missiles into the galactic neighborhood, so they might be coming down to check on us or something.
But you've never seen one.
They're getting back
one.
At us.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But you've never seen one, Charlie.
I don't think I have.
Well, this woman, really, the director, I get this, of the Mutual UFO Network, mm-hmm. seems to have sighted a UFO. Let's listen to it.
Because back in 2004, according to the story, there was something that crashed there from outer space. What's wrong with you? You're acting strange. To help us investigate the aerial phenomena that occurred here in Castleberry, we met with the chief investigator for Florida's Mutual UFO Network, Denise Stoner, to tell us what happened that fateful night.
It was a really interesting night, 4th of July. A lot of folks outside waiting to watch the fireworks. The sky was kind of rumbly with thunder, lightning, and then all of a sudden it turned the color of mustard. The kind of mustard you would put on a hot dog, that exact color. The clouds were just ugly. We began to wonder if we were going to have hail, a tornado, what was going on. And as we watched, from this side, east, came a streak across the sky and a zipping sound. It was a high-pitched zzzz across the sky. What I saw and what we saw was a bit of light.
A bit of light? Are you talking about like an airplane, maybe a space vehicle of some kind, a meteor?
What I saw was a circle of bright light moving very, very rapidly across the sky, right behind this mustard-colored sky.
Okay.
That's creepy, isn't it?
Well, that's creepy, but what's creepier is the Mutual UFO Network. What in the world is that?
Well, that's... The Mutual UFO Network is based in Seguin, Texas.
And
It's the four...
One of the media capitals of the country.
Yeah. So it is recognized by ufologists as the top investigative organization for aerial phenomena.
A ufologist? I never heard that term.
A ufologist, yeah. That's a It's someone who studies UFOs.
I get it, yeah.
Wow.
Like a cryptozoologist who looks for cryptid animals.
Let's take a quick phone call. We have a listener in Palmetto Bay. This is Tommy. He's probably seen some UFOs. Hey, Tommy.
How's it going?
Good.
Thank you. Years ago, maybe in the mid-80s, we had seen something, a bright, humongous fireball going from north to south along the coast, and later it was reported that it was Russian space junk. We have no idea. The other day at about 7 o'clock in the evening, there were two orange balloons with fire inside them, which are supposedly Chinese lanterns, and about 2,000 feet, and heading north at about 40 miles an hour, 10 minutes apart. And the last thing was on the way back from Homestead Bayfront Park in the middle of the day, three people in the car and the family saw something that looked like a dinosaur coming out of Homestead Bayfront Park on the other side of the canal that was grayish. It was just like out of the shrubs and observing, and everybody was speechless until somebody said, well, did anybody see what I saw? And the viewers concurred on what they had seen. Nobody had any idea what it could have been. We've asked naturalists, and they said, we have no idea.
Maybe Charlie Carlson knows, or Mia Lorenzo.
I don't know, but I'm fascinated by that story. I mean, obviously somebody saw something there, and now we have to wonder, what was it that they saw? You know, I have no idea what that could have been. But, you know, I get people that tell me stories, and I know that the stories are valid, that they have seen something. And the question is always, what did they see? Did they misinterpret the whatever it was, or as something it wasn't? But I like stories like that. Who knows? We discover some 10,000 new species of animals every year. Now, most of those are microorganisms, but there are some very large animals that are discovered each year that we never knew existed before.
Well, you know, you never know.
Yeah.
Bonnie,
well,
don't we have another cut to play?
We do. We have another cut from another, well, in this case, it's a cemetery, another cemetery. This is Lakeview Cemetery.
Well, it looks like we've come to another end of a weird and wacky journey through the Sunshine State. And most appropriately, we're ending in Sanford, Florida's historic Lakeview Cemetery. This cemetery contains many, many graves of Sanford's early residents. A lot of dignitaries are buried here, and also one non-human, Bob. Bob is buried right here where I stand. Bob was a funeral horse. So like Bob, we have reached the end of another show. And now we're going to vanish into the sunset. Until next time.
First, before anything else, I want to thank Paul Leary for helping me get these excerpts from Weird Florida on the Road Again. Thank you, Paul. He pulled them out, and we put them in the system, and he did all that, so thank you. And who are some of the dignitaries buried at Lakeview Cemetery, Charlie?
Well, almost all of the people who were in government or business in Sanford and Seminole County prior to 1910 are buried in that cemetery. That was the only cemetery at the time. And Bob, he was the funeral horse. He pulled the wagon, the horse, the hearse. In fact, Bob delivered most of the people to their final resting place there, and then he died in 1913. He actually died in 1913, the same year that Seminole County was formed from Orange County. And Bob was born in 1870 when Sanford was incorporated as a city. So Bob has a very big part in that area's history.
Well, Charlie Carlson, it's always nice to speak with you. Of course, you've collaborated with producer Mia Lorenzo on now two of these. We're talking about Weird Florida on the Road Again, and that documentary premieres tonight on WLRN-TV, Channel 17, at 8 p.m. Thanks very much, Charles.
We had fun.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks, thanks, Mia.
Thank you, guys.
Mia.
Appreciate it.
And that wraps up today's program. It was produced by Richard Ives, technical direction from Paul Leary. And follow us on the Topical Currents Facebook page. Leave a like for us. We also provide free audio archives and digital downloads at our new website, that's WLRN.org. And tomorrow's program begins with an analysis of habits. How do we break bad ones and foster the good? Also, Linda Gassenheimer's Food and Dining is devoted to organic produce and Homestead's fabulous Paradise Farms. Now our all-no-quitter calendar for January 9th. On this day in 1913, 100 years ago, the birth of President Richard Nixon in Yorba Linda, California. Today is a public holiday there. And one more while we roll 'em, roll 'em, roll 'em. On this day in 1959, 54 years ago, CBS TV premieres Rawhide, starring Eric Fleming and newcomer Clint Eastwood as Rowdy Yates. The distinctive theme song was sung by Frankie Lane. Weird Florida, tonight at 8 p.m. on WLRN-TV. Our weird theme music, created by Michael Levine. It's a waltz. So we leave with a thought from Clint Eastwood, who was once a one-term mayor of Carmel, California. Quote, I'm interested in the fact that the less secure a man is, the more likely he is to have extreme prejudice. Forgive him for talking to an empty chair. This is Joseph Cooper along with Bonnie Berman. Thanks for making public radio your companion today. Stay tuned now for the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.